Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you.
Well, we praise God for each of you tonight on this rainy Monday. We hope that you have had an enjoyable day and that you have overcome the day of Super Bowl excitement, and that you are back and on track and ready to do what's necessary in order to continue to live out your destiny and be who God has called you to be. I didn't have a dog in that fight last night, but it was an exciting game. But we praise God for each of you tonight. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. We're going to be in Leviticus, the seventh chapter, and we're going to do some reflection, and I believe there are about 39 so verses in that seventh chapter. And so we're certainly grateful for each of you who continue to support and participate and be a part of what God is doing through this medium. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming through as we prepare for tonight's time together. We're certainly grateful for how God continues to bless us even in spite of ourselves. And we thank God for his keeping power. And we thank him for allowing us to participate in what has happened thus far this day. And we praise him that we are still here. So let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we're extremely grateful. We're extremely grateful for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing and all that you continue to do in our lives. And we are grateful for how you bless beyond measure and how you look beyond our faults and how you've gotten right to our needs. We thank you that you continue to move us in the right direction in which you would have us to go. We pray now, dear Lord, your choicest blessing to be upon us, even as we engage in this time together tonight. And we're certainly grateful for each person that's going to be on the call tonight and participate and be a part of this study. We know that our faith is going to increase tonight because your word says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So we decree and declare that our faith shall increase, and we believe that we're going to be better as a result of spending this time together. Now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's
amen.
Give God some thumbs up or some hearts and let us know that you are in agreement with us tonight around this time that we're going to spend together. All right, well, we'll do a brief recap on yesterday's worship experience. Had an exciting time. Had visitors to come and help and participate in the Black History Moment at ATOP. And for trying to clear my throat out there, Reverend, I apologize to y'all for me not, Lady Kim not sharing the water with me. But we're excited. No, I'm good. We're excited what God is doing at ATOP. And yesterday was an exceptional day. The choir from, where were they from, Lady Kim?
Cahoma,
Mississippi. And you know,
Cahoma Community
College. Mm-hmm. Is it in Cahoma, Mississippi?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I saw the exit say in Cahoma, you know, but somebody let us know that that are familiar. Perhaps you're familiar with that area and let us know if that's actually a city or not. But they did an excellent job and they blessed us tremendously and took us back a little bit and reminded us of from whence we've come, and then lifted our spirits. And we praise God for that opportunity to hear this choir. And I think that was about half of them. That was mm-hmm. not the full choir.
Right.
But
awesome. They were awesome.
Yes, absolutely. And so we were grateful for that. And then a powerful word by the First Lady on yesterday. I don't know if she wants me to give the review today or not. I know one thing for sure. she didn't lose her notes because she had all of her notes because she was preaching. So we can't say that was the case for yesterday. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's right. I remember.
But the title of your sermon was I've Got a Story to Tell. And did not our hearts burn on yesterday as Lady Kim looked at, I believe, it was Psalms 107 and just kind of focused around those first three verses as she did an excellent job in just going through that text and then giving us some pointers about those who have already laid the path for us in terms of our history, in terms of our heritage, and how we need to be proud of what they have done in our lives and what they have done in terms of setting the example for us to continue to strive and to do better in the midst of what we might be going through. And so that's Psalm 107, a very familiar psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so you talked about several things. I'm just kind of abbreviating that, and you're welcome to join in at any time, Lady Kim, because many times after you preach, you kind of hear something that something reminds you in the spirit about something you could have said or how you could have reworked some things. But you talked about giving thanks because God is good, and you also indicated we ought to give thanks because his mercies endureth forever. And then you mentioned that we ought to give thanks because God has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And so we have to remember, reflect, and we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to rejoice, because when we look back over how the Lord has brought us and what he has brought us through, then we can't help but give him thanks. And you went ahead and talked about the stories of those who have paved the way for us. But you also indicated that you had a story to tell and how all of us have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And so that was a very powerful sermon in that I think it helped us to understand more about the sufficiency of God. And it also helped us to get a clear path in terms of what we need to do in response to what God has already done for us. Mm-hmm. And so I thought you did an excellent job in exegeting the text and then making it plain. You went over the time limit, but, you know, we didn't pull you off the stage. I have, what's the man name that you just come out
Sandman.
On? The Sandman to come out on and try to drag you off. But, no, you did a great job. And I think people really responded and connected with the sermon because, as you indicated in the end, that we all have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. Your story might not be my story. I met Lady Kim in the latter part of what she was talking about yesterday, and I met her when she started talking about the fact that she got saved. So just want to make sure y'all understand that because But no, I praise God for you just being open and honest and transparent before the people, because many times when people look at us or when they look at you or when they look at those who are in leadership, they think that somehow in some way, magically, they got to where they are without having any drama, without going through anything, or without having any difficulties or any trials to push them to that place. And you talked about your education and your background and your upbringing. I thought that was a great analogy to help people understand the transparency of our lives, because we intersected in that whole process as well.
Amen.
Anything you want to share or add that you think might help us to kind of understand for those who have not fully come to terms with their own story and how they have to reflect, as you said, remember and rejoice in terms of what God has done?
Well, one thing about telling your own story is that the enemy can no longer hold you hostage to your past.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are embarrassed about their past,
right.
Embarrassed about what happened to them in their past. But guess what? The past is just that.
That's
it's
right.
The past.
That's right.
It's what happened some time ago. You know, as much as yesterday. It's the past, and we can't right. do anything about the past,
right.
but we can do something about the future.
Okay.
And so we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, that even if you're still struggling with a particular issue, Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from that.
That's right.
And so all we have to do is release that sin, those sins to God, rely on his sufficiency, and ask him to allow us to be released from whatever it is that we're going through. But we have something to do. But, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to let people know of their past. But guess what? If somebody found out your past and started gossiping and telling about your business, everybody's mouth would be all open and people would be oohing and aahing. But if you already put that out there, then they say, oh, that ain't no secret, you
right,
know?
Right, I already knew that.
So that takes the sting out of what the enemy tries to do, to try to keep us down and hold us back.
Okay.
And so many times our past is, what happened in the past sometimes is no fault of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. But the majority of our past, we had total responsibility over.
I agree.
You know, and we had choices that
That's
we made.
Right.
And
That's
we
right.
made some good choices, and we've made some poor choices
right.
in the past.
Right.
But, again, the past is the past. We don't have to live in the past. We don't have to
Be held hostage to the past.
We can move forward.
Right, right. Well, that's so true. And many times, I think what the enemy will try to do is keep bringing up our past so that we won't move forward in our destiny. And, you know, one of the things I found out about how God speaks in our lives and how the enemy tries to suppress us is that the enemy will always bring up your past. And he always try to tell you about what happened then. But with God, he always reminds you about your future and how there are great things in store. So you can be clear in terms of when the enemy is trying to pull something over on you, it'll always be about what happened in the past. You remember when. You remember what somebody said about you. You remember what somebody did to you. You remember when you were in that mess that you were in. But that's not what God says. God says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world, and that no weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper, and how we can do all things through the very Christ who strengthens us. And so we have to be mindful of that. And many times, as you indicated, Lady Kim, a lot of people are still locked in their past and they haven't been released to and toward the destiny that God has for their lives, because you're not willing to step out and trust God with a new direction and a new opportunity to do great things for him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we have to take an opportunity to remember and reflect on our past, because if we don't remember the past, if we don't reflect on the past, mm-hmm. then we're doomed to repeat
That's
the
right.
mistakes of the past.
That's right. That's right.
So then we have to reflect on the past and rejoice
okay.
in how far God has brought us, and how he's kept us, and how when we were foolishly in our sinfulness, you know, he watched over us and
yeah.
he kept us.
Yeah, yeah. So once we come into the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus the Christ, he does a new thing in our lives. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, a woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creation, a mm-hmm. new creature.
Mm-hmm.
Old things
yes.
have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And then Paul would remind us that even though he had a wicked past, even though he had some difficulties that he had to overcome, and people were trying to tie him to what he had did in the past, Paul says, I press toward the mark mm-hmm. of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, mm-hmm. even as I press toward what God yet has in store. So let me say this to somebody. There's a blessing in your pressing.
Yes.
Don't go weary in well-doing. Don't allow the enemy to hold you hostage and keep you in the pain of your past. But there is a new you that God is trying to bring forward. There's a new person in Christ that God wants you to experience. There's some new things that God wants you to have, and it's not tied to your past. You can't forget your past. You got to remember your past. You got to reflect on it. But you have a reason to rejoice when you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ because of what he will do. And it's going to be big.
Yes.
Come on,
yes.
Somebody say it's going to be big.
It's going to be big, yes.
All right. Any comments that we need to share, Lady Kim?
Well, Sister Gwen Staples had a great comment that people are so judgmental. As a rule, we do have a forgiving nature. We don't seem to have an understanding of redemption.
Okay.
And, you know, I ran out of time, but as I was preaching what...
You ran out of time?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. That jumped off the page somewhere.
Yes, I ran out of time. Okay. I didn't have time to...
That was a part two. That should be a part two then, because you were way over your time.
See, I forgot what I was going to say.
Did you? She was talking about redemption.
Oh, I know what it is. Yes, redemption. And I was thinking about, you know, when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we went to the grocery store
mm-hmm.
and we would buy groceries and
not
you would
us.
Get...
Not us, but when y'all used to go.
Yeah, when we were young.
Yeah, you're making it seem like me and you were going to the grocery store.
Oh, okay.
You say, you remember when we used to go to the grocery store?
Okay, our age group.
Okay.
Age group.
All right.
Yeah. You
no,
and
I didn't. I didn't know you did when you were going to the grocery store and stuff. Everybody well, already think I arrived.
Let me rewind that. Okay. When our family used to go to the grocery store,
right.
And you would buy your groceries, you would get S&H green stamps.
Right.
Y'all remember
right.
green stamps or
That's
plaid
right.
stamps?
That's right.
And you would take those stamps and you would lick them and you would put them in a book.
Yeah.
And you would collect these books of green stamps, and once you got several books. They
right.
had a catalog you can look through, like the Sears catalog.
That's right.
And you could redeem those books of S&H Green Stamps.
You were
going to
tell that story?
For things, for mm-hmm. tangible things like
right.
irons and ironing boards. And we got all kind of
right,
stuff
right.
with S&H Green Stamps.
You had that
dishes
in your
and
notes.
Plates. No, I didn't have that
oh,
in my
okay,
notes. That's
okay.
what I was saying.
Okay.
It came to me while I was preaching, but it would have taken too much time to tell it, so I just kept going. So.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. And that was a major, major situation. I used to hate to lick those stamps, you know, and put them in the book.
I had a sponge
did
that
you?
I used to wet and dab them on the sponge, because I did it for my family and my grandmother and grandfather. My grandfather used to pay me a nickel a book.
Okay.
But I had
okay.
to finish a whole book before he gave me the nickel.
Well, that was a lot of...
Yeah, that was a long time and
yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
sticking.
And those nickels would add up, too. And so you're absolutely right. and so what did they say, Lady Kim?
Sister Gwen said, you're being judgmental.
who she's talking about?
You.
When I said what?
I guess about the stamps. But anyway,
okay.
your story can help someone else overcome because they only see you now thinking you've always had it together. That's right.
That's right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
As Dr. Butler says, we have to train for this new life in Christ from the inside out.
That's good.
Now, that's good
that's
right
good.
There.
It's an inside job.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because the Bible says that we're born into sin and shapen in iniquity.
Right.
So
right.
when we're born into this world, we're born into it as sinful beings.
Right, right.
And we have to retrain ourselves to live righteous and holy lives.
That's
and
right.
to not sin.
That's right. Well, I had a chance to talk with my cousin Dwayne Murray a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gwen Staples' name came up, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I was surprised that he still remembered her from back in the day, and I think that's part of what happens with most people and even those who have not had a chance to see our redeemed life
mm-hmm.
and our new life in Christ. They always bring up
the past. What they used to
that's right
know.
What they used
mm-hmm.
to know about
mm-hmm.
about people, and that's part of what kind of hinders people from, and it happens in our families more so than in relationships as after we grow up in Christ, because sometimes our families are the most challenging in terms of accepting and releasing us from our past and understanding that we are walking in the newness of life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. You hiding the notes from me. I can't see over there, but we'll move on. Anything else?
No, that was about it. That about wraps it up for Sunday. It was an awesome time in the Lord, and some people emailed me, some people texted mm-hmm. me and said how much they appreciated the message on yesterday. Even my supervisor at work tuned in, and she said it was inspiring.
That's great. And it was. And so we are really grateful for that. And, you know, as I was thinking about you opening up and being transparent, all of us have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let the enemy steal your joy or hinder you from moving forward in terms of experiencing God at another level, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come, and he says it emphatically, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so once we are released from being held hostage by our past, then we can walk in the newness of life, and God can do great things and great exploits on our behalf.
Amen.
Do you believe that, Lady
Yes,
Kim?
I do.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank God for each of you who are on tonight. We're going to be talking, and we're going to be studying from the seventh chapter of Leviticus. And we have been just kind of walking through Leviticus and trying to get clarity and understanding from all of these different offerings that are being presented to us. And it's kind of going back and rehearsing some of the things that we've already seen in terms of these offerings, particularly related to the trespass offering that was explained in the fifth and the sixth chapters. But here in this seventh chapter of Leviticus, we'll see it going into more detail and giving us some more understanding about what should transpire in terms of these offerings that are to be presented. And then it talks a little bit about the trespass and the sin offering, and also about how the priest should respond and in terms of what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat. And I think you had a little example there earlier in our study about some of the things that had transpired leading up to this particular chapter. I think you talked about it last week. I don't know if you still...
I don't remember in particular.
Okay. About how it was. I think you said it was about five different categories.
Five types mm-hmm. of ritual sacrifices
mm-hmm.
to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the two types of offerings to say a thank you. And then there were three to say, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So
okay.
Is that what you're referring
uh-huh.
to?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
All right. And so I believe that was in the first chapters 1 through 10 talks about sacrifices and priesthood. Mm-hmm. So we are still within the range of talking about sacrifices and priesthood.
Okay.
And
okay.
So chapters 11 through 16 talk about sanctification and purification.
Okay.
And chapters 17 through 27 talk about holiness laws. So we are still talking about sacrifices in the priesthood because we are in chapter number 7.
Okay. All right. And after we read some, how are you going to break down this particular chapter in segments, Lady Kim?
Well, chapter 1 through 7, we're in the 7th chapter of Leviticus this
uh-huh.
week. And verses 1 through 7 gives instructions for the guilt offering.
Okay.
Then chapters 7 through 10 talks about the portion for the priest.
Okay.
Chapters 11 through 21 talk about the law and peace offering. Chapters 22 through 27 talks about the prohibition on eating fat and blood. And verses 28 through 38 are additional instructions for the peace offering. So that's how the seventh chapter is broken down.
Okay. All right. So you're going to start reading at verse number 1, and how far are you going to go down?
Till verse number 7. Verses okay. 1 through 7 is the instruction for the guilt offering.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're in the seventh chapter of Leviticus. Likewise, this is the law of trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering. And its blood he shall sprinkle all around the altar. And he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidney, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests may eat it. Mm-hmm. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it.
Okay. All right. So just going into just a little more detail, because as we indicated earlier, there was already a description of this particular offering, the trespass offering, in chapters 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just getting more in detail. And I think it started out in chapter 5 talking about how the people should respond. And now they are focusing more on how the priests respond, and then the particulars about how they should go about dissecting, as well as what they should and should not eat.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the priests had to be master butchers.
That's right.
You know, to cut out the fat and the particular parts that should be offered and eaten and not offered, and the what should be burned and what should be, you know, cast away. And
mm-hmm.
so they had to be master butchers in order to accomplish that.
They had to know their way around an animal in order
Absolutely.
To identify the right parts. And then I think they were descriptive in terms of talking about a place where all of this should take place.
Absolutely.
Right? Did I say
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so they were very meticulous in terms of making sure that the priest understood that. And when you get into these next few verses, that you're going to go through 7 through what?
10.
10
mm-hmm.
9? What is
7
that?
7 through 10.
Okay. All right. We'll see some of that coming out.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So we're in Leviticus, the 7th chapter, the 8th. Let's start with the 7th verse.
Okay.
The trespass offering is like the sin offering.
Mm-hmm.
There is one law for them both.
Okay.
The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. Also, every grain offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is prepared in the covered pan or in the pan, shall be the priest who offers it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to one as much as the other.
Okay. So distinction is being established, as well as process. Would
right.
you agree?
Yes. And the portion that they should get.
That's
the portion
right.
that the priest should get, and the portion that the priest's son should get also. Because it says it can be offered to the priest's sons.
Okay.
You know what I was thinking about the sons? What if the priest had daughters? What did they
mm-hmm.
do? They just
mm-hmm.
left out, huh?
Well, no. I think they probably eventually with the family, but the male was the most dominant character, I guess, in terms of the lineage. And I think that's what they're trying to establish more so than the wife or the other children that were not male.
I'm going to have to go back and research that. I know the men were the dominant figures, head of the family, and the women were treated as second-class citizens. But I'm pretty sure they didn't let the women starve.
Yeah, that's it. Just like,
but I guess through these only through these offerings were they to eat, you know, the males to eat of the these burnt offerings.
Right, and so we look at it differently from the culture in which they were in, and we have a different perspective on what we see as being second class versus mm-hmm. what they were using as the culture. What you hit me for? Why are you trying to tell me something? That's the culture during that particular time. And so when we look at biblical history now, we can see a whole lot of changes, a whole lot of things that's not applicable to us today. And we can easily term it as second class when it might not have been considered second class in that culture.
Absolutely.
You follow?
Yeah, I agree with mm-hmm. you on that. Mm-hmm. And then this is what Bible study should do. It should cause questions to rise to make you do further investigation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and write that down, because you said you're going to research that and see what was the perspective of the women and the female children during that time as it related to
the women, did they get any of the sacrifice?
Right. Did they eat? Did they get it? And I'm sure they did, but I think the relevance here is more in terms of the male. And even when, and you'll see there are instances in the Bible where there were no sons and the inheritance would go to the firstborn, mm-hmm. firstborn male. And then the Bible had to speak to that. I think God speaks to the fullness of what we experience and gives us examples in terms of how we apply that, mm-hmm. you know. And so our job is to make it relevant and applicable for our day and time. Because what we're reading now, somebody's probably saying, and what? You know, okay, they did, they had some, and I like to eat them. I hadn't had any in a while, the skins. Because that's really what they fried some skins back then, and they passed them out because they said they had to cut the skin off of the animal and fry it in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so they were eating skins back then.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So we just have to go ahead and make it plain for us today and how it applies to our situation. Because this really probably doesn't even connect with some people in terms of, so what's the lesson for us in terms of all, in
what's
all
the relevance for our day?
Right.
Yes. And one of the things that I did learn this past year or last year or so is that when a male had no male heirs, mm-hmm. if he died, his inheritance or what he had went to his brother.
That's right.
You know,
that's
it didn't fall to his female children.
Absolutely.
And so that's spoken to in the Bible also.
Right, right.
But, you know, lest we digress here
and
get off track,
right on
you
point,
know,
I think.
We women have come a long way. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that allowed women to be propelled into society is Jesus' inclusiveness of them.
That's right.
Jesus included women in his ministry where they were considered nobodies and second-class citizens. He included them in ministry. They were over churches.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were over the money, the treasury. They were rich. Jesus had rich women that followed him, and this is documented, well documented in the Bible. And so women played a significant role. So he was a trendsetter. He was, that's why, that's why,
and the emancipator.
That's why they wanted to kill him.
Absolutely.
Because he was changing the status quo.
That's
women
right.
were beginning to rise up because Jesus allowed them the opportunity to participate in ministry.
Absolutely. And the Gentiles had a second class mentality as well. And so when we, Paul's, that's why Paul's ministry was so powerful, because he continued to carry that message and cross the barriers that had not yet been crossed. And even though we experienced that back then, or we didn't experience it, but we see that happening back in biblical days, the prejudice and the racism still exists.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And even though there are believers who are trying to live out this gospel, I don't see how somebody can omit the fact that it's not inclusive of all, you know, for Jesus himself made it clear that he has no respect of persons, mm-hmm. you know? And so we find ourselves going back through that same struggle, and even with what happened here recently here in Memphis, you know, with Dr. Gina Stewart preaching at the Baptist convention, where they had all four of the different conventions gathering, was a significant breakthrough, which should have happened long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still stuck in their ways and in the traditions, and they want to take scripture and apply it based upon what they believe rather than how it is related in the scripture in terms of what Jesus was trying to bring to pass.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. So you left off at verse number 11?
Yes.
Okay. And we're just talking about the relevance of, we're in Leviticus, the 7th chapter, and how we have to make sure that we don't allow this just to be words on a piece of paper mm-hmm. that relates to Aaron and the priest household and not apply to us, because I think out of all of these different laws and out of all of these different guilt offerings, there is something that speaks to us about preparation as well as being faithful, and then it also speaks to us about how important it is for us to do reflection behind the principles as it relates to the offerings that we're given.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get ready to close out tonight.
All right. So verses 11 through 21,
mm-hmm.
this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Beside the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heaven offering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
A heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it should be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats of it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh All who are clean may eat of it, but the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. Mm. Verse 21, moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people.
Wow, wow. That's through verse 21?
Yes.
Okay. Anything you want to elaborate on as in that portion of the scripture?
Well, one of the things that came to mind with, when they're talking about clean and unclean, mm-hmm. they're not talking about clean as washing dirt off of it. There were certain things that were that God deemed unclean, and we'll talk about that in later chapters.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make that clear that we're not talking about it's unclean because it has some dirt on it, and it, you know, the person has some dirt on them, and so they're unclean.
Okay.
There are certain conditions that would make a person or a thing unclean.
All right. So what offering was this we just referenced?
This was the peace offering.
The peace offering.
The peace offering,
okay.
Yes.
All right. So how many different offerings are being offered here? Is it the guilt offering?
The guilt offering was talked about in verses 1 through 7. Then they talk about the portion that the priest should get, and then mm-hmm. the law and the peace offerings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the end of it, the law and the peace offering.
Yes, because the verses 28 through 38 talk about the additional instructions for the peace offering.
Okay. Because part of what I was thinking of in reference to that guilt offering, it really kind of symbolizes for us reconciliation. Because when we think of guilt, we kind of associate that with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But for us, this should be a reflection of, symbolizes reconciliation with God after sinning. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so while there's fellowship and we see the communion that's taking place, and you're getting ready to talk a little bit more about the peace with God, all of that is symbolic of what God wants us to have in fellowship with him.
Amen.
So we need to make sure that we are reconciled back to him, even if we find ourselves in a situation where we have sinned. What really keeps us from flowing in the relationship that God would have for us is that we don't confess our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants us to reconcile with him once we have come into the knowledge of our sin.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
All right. So our next portion will be 22 through 27. And that's talking about, you know, the prohibition on eating fat and blood.
Okay.
It says the fat and blood may not be eaten. Verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of what is torn by wild beasts may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whosoever eats the fat of an animal of which men offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, the person who eats it shall be cut off from his people.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people.
Mm. Go ahead.
One thing that came to my mind when I was reading this, you know, I never thought about it, but, you know, they said that they could not eat the fat of anything that died naturally. So that means that every sacrifice that they presented or offered to the Lord had to be a living sacrifice, and then they had to kill it.
Right.
And so that really brought me back to Jesus dying on the cross, that he was a living sacrifice.
Okay.
And he died for our sins. And it also said that, you know, they could not eat the fat of what had been killed by other animals.
Right. Right.
You know, so they couldn't eat roadkill.
That's right. That's good. And Paul gets back to even reemphasizing the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus and how important it is for us to follow that example by presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. So we don't have to go through all of these rituals now, but there's still a sacrifice involved in terms of making the kind of commitment to Christ.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
And so Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a transformation that has to happen. And I think Dr. Butler talked about it earlier, that it happens from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And God is looking for that kind of relationship and that kind of transformation to happen. And it's obvious once we come to that point of presenting ourselves that we might be holy and acceptable unto God, that we're really getting it. We're understanding what God requires of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. Well, how many more verses do we have?
We have 10 more verses, okay. 28 through 38.
All right. Well, you want to go ahead and read those, and I think that's going to push us right to the top of the hour.
All right. And this last portion is additional instructions for the peace offering and the portion for Aaron and his sons.
Okay.
All right. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the beast he shall bring, the fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Also, the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron who offer the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offering, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and his sons for the children of Israel by a statute forever. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offering made by fire to the Lord on the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests. The Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecration and the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai.
Okay. So what are some takeaways that we can use from these scriptures in terms of understanding the relevance for us today? Yeah, there were several offerings that you mentioned, the trespass offering, and I think the peace offering, and you also the guilt offering. Is that right? Were those the ones that came forth out of there?
Yes.
So what would be something like a takeaway we could use to help us see the relevance?
Well, one of the things that we all know, again, and I think I alluded to it earlier, is that we no longer have to do these offerings.
Right, right.
It's no longer necessary because our high priest was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he died for to forgive us of our sins. So Peter would later say, you are a royal priesthood, a holy mm-hmm. nation,
right.
a people belonging to the Lord. That's in 1 Peter 2:9.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Christ follower, you have a priestly role
right.
to fill in helping others bridge to God. So you have to be the one that bridges the gap
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. for that person.
That's right.
To God. So we are all to be ordained or ordered as one belonging to God.
That's good. That's real good. Because the other part of that has to do with, as we said earlier, as believers today, we can apply these principles that we see here in this 7th chapter by recognizing our need for repentance and for reconciliation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is for us to understand that when we fall short, then we have a responsibility to ask God for forgiveness. I think just like as this guilt offering emphasizes confession and restitution, we should humbly come before God and confess our sins and seek his forgiveness through Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
and then make amends where necessary. And so we have something that we can connect in terms of what the importance and the significance of what they were experiencing back then. Even though we don't have to go through that ritual, we still have a responsibility in terms of our relationship and in our fellowship with God.
Amen.
By offering him, you know, what's necessary in order to cultivate that close relationship and continue to grow and thrive in what he would have for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think Dr. Butler had a comment there. I didn't get a chance to see it though.
It said that's why the spiritual disciplines prepare us to be a living sacrifice.
That's right. That's right. So those disciplines are key in terms of making sure that we stay in constant communication and connection with God, and not allow the things of the world to pull us back into the world. But we are in this world, but not of the world. And so we ought not be conformed to the standards of the world, but we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that will give us the peace that we need in order to experience God's presence every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
All right, well, our time is getting away from us, Lady Kim, and we want to acknowledge those who have prayer requests. If you have any, we want you to go ahead and put those in the chat, in the box for requests. Is it chat or is it, what is it? The comment box, right?
Yes,
okay.
The comment line.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, and so we do have several prayer requests that we need to lift up. One bereavement that we have recently, Sister Roberta Albright, and the loss of her mother, Gazella Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the mother-in-law of Brother Herman Albright. So we want to lift up Roberta and Herman Albright and their family in our prayers and the loss of her mother. Then we want to lift up our sick and shut-in. We still have Brother Charles Reynolds in Baptist East, and he's doing better every day, but we pray his strength in the Lord and that his recovery, full recovery, comes soon. Sister Elnora Buchanan in Great Oaks Rehabilitation Health Center. We want to lift up Brother Thomas Doggett in our prayers. Sister Lena Jackson, Brother Willie Watkins, Jerry Perkins, Mother Roxy Briggs, Mother Elizabeth Hughes, Mother Gracie Bradley, Sister Augusta Rushing, and Minister Mary Blue.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, we did get a chance to talk with Herman and Roberta today, and they were in the process of making preparations, and she said they would get back with us with those final arrangements. Mm-hmm. But Roberta's mother was 93 years old.
93 years young.
And so that's a blessing, and that's a powerful testimony, you know, in terms of, you know, longevity and mm-hmm. staying with God. And so we're thankful for that. But it's hard to lose anyone. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have, I don't know if it's harder or easier, and it's never easy for people when they lose a loved one. But the longevity of life speaks to something about, you know, them having a full life and experiencing. That's almost a century, 100 years old, mm-hmm. you know?
Almost.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so that's a place of gratitude and appreciation.
Amen.
And thanksgiving, that's, you know. Right. We don't want to see, I want to live to be 100 years old, but I want to be clothed in my right mind, and still driving, and still able,
oh my.
still able to get around.
Oh, my.
You know.
Still able to get around, yeah. But driving, yeah. I don't know.
Well, the cars are going to be much different
in
the next 20 years.
Yeah, because Teslas are already driving themselves. So,
that's right.
All you have to do is get in your Hummer
and
sell it to take you to Walmart.
Right. So I'll have one of those big electric Hummers that...
That'll take you to Walmart.
That's right. There are a couple of prayer requests there, it looked like, and I saw a birthday somewhere on the...
They're praying for peace for everyone.
Okay.
Yes, and we have an upcoming election.
That's right.
Early voting begins on this Wednesday, on Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Early voting begins, and this is the presidential, primary election mm-hmm. thingy that's going on. So,
right. I think some of Shelby County elections are going to take place during this process, too. So we are early voting site, of course, mm-hmm. and they've already delivered the machines, so they're locked down and they're secure. But Wednesday is day after tomorrow, and so the information is there on the screen. Sister Theron just posted it, so you can click on it to make sure that you follow the processes in terms of what you need to do, you know, for the voting.
Amen.
So everybody gets the opportunity to vote.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. That's right. If you're a registered voter.
Sister Joyce said, hide the keys. It won't be in the keys with the electrical cars. Well, you might still need a key, though, right?
She might be talking about for the early voting. I don't know. You said you had everything locked down.
Oh, okay. No, I think she was talking about me driving.
Oh, driving when you're 93 years old. I know, right? Hide the keys.
Yeah. I might not need a key. I might just need a little one of those little... But
Bob's.
It's going to still be something that's going to have to get everything moving.
Don't trust me. If I'm still around, they will be hidden, okay? All right. Pray for... Sister Deborah Atkins asked for prayers for her grandsons, DeKaden and DeMario Harris.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Seemed like I saw somebody was having a birthday today somewhere along along here, but I don't see it.
All right. Well, if no others, then we, you ready
yes,
to go to
yes,
God?
Yes, you
and
can
pray.
Go ahead and close us out if you don't mind.
All right. Precious Jesus, we thank you tonight for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask God that as we close this Bible study tonight, that you would comfort the bereaved tonight, God. We ask that you would touch Sister Roberta Albright and Brother Herman Albright, God, and we ask that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. And God, we ask that you would heal the sick tonight. Continue to heal Brother Charles Reynolds, God. Continue to heal Sister Elnora Buchanan. Continue to heal Sister Lena Jackson. Continue to heal, God, all the others that are on our sick and shut-in list. You know them name by name, condition by condition,
yes, God.
So we ask that you would intervene right now and touch in the name of Jesus. And then we lift up DeKaden and DeMario Harris to you, God. You know all about them because you made and you created them, God. We ask, God, that you would just deliver them from the hand of the enemy that's trying to stalk their path,
God.
Oh God.
Yes, God.
We thank you, O God, that you're in them, you're through them, you're around them, O God. We ask, O God, that you be ever present in their life and that they acknowledge you as the God, great God that you are. Now, O God, as we get ready to leave this Bible study tonight, we ask for world peace, O God. We ask for your peace that surpasseth all understanding. God, we know that there are wars and we hear of rumors of wars, but we ask for your peace right now, God, in the land. And we thank you, O God. We bless you for the upcoming presidential race. We know, O God, that everything happens, O God, because you allow it to happen. So, God, we ask that you would give us the right person, put the right person in office that our country might be in the hands of one who believe and trust and lean and depend on you and not on mankind.
Thank you, God.
So we thank you, God, for each listener tonight. We thank you, God, for everything you're doing. We thank you, God, for allowing us this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you tonight, and we hope that you stay safe and that we look forward to seeing you real soon. And don't forget, early voting to start is Wednesday. And happy early Valentine's Day to each of you out there. And we hope that you have an enjoyable day.
Amen. Good night, everybody. See you next Monday.